In the span of 2 hours, I can go from meeting with someone who comes to my office and is rejoicing and celebrating and filled with joy because of something really beautiful that they just experienced at work or in their family or in their relationship with God, to then meeting with the next person who comes in who is experiencing real deep sorrow and pain from tragedy and lamenting with that person, to then having the next person come in the office who quite frankly just insults me and with their words, whether intentionally or unintentionally, and then having another person come in the office after them who again wants to rejoice and celebrate, but who it's very difficult for me to rejoice with and celebrate because I'm still thinking about the person who just left my office who insulted me intentionally or unintentionally. And now this person who wants to celebrate is picking up the vibe that I'm not happy with their celebration, with their joy. And now they get offended at me because I'm not rejoicing with them. And then it becomes even more drama. It's very difficult sometimes to make these transitions within the span of like 30 seconds from being happy to sad to all these different things going on. And I'm pretty sure priests aren't the only ones who have to deal with this. I'm pretty sure this is how it is in the lay life as well, right? You go to work, you have a great day at work. You come home, you're hanging out, your spouse comes home, your spouse did not have a great day at work. Your spouse had a difficult day at work. Your spouse's boss was being unreasonable with them. The coworkers did not do their work, and so your spouse had to pick up where they were lacking. And now your spouse comes home, and because your spouse can't take it out on their boss, who do they take it out on? On you. Now you were happy. You wanted to have awesome conversation, but now your spouse is fussing at you for something you did not do, and so now y'all get into an argument. You did not expect for your spouse to come home with those kind of raw emotions. Now your kids come home from playing sports and one of your kids maybe shot a three-pointer and made it for the first time in his or her life and they just want to celebrate with mom and dad and they try to tell mom and dad about this three-pointer that they made outside when they were playing basketball, but y'all don't want to hear it. Y'all are now taking it out on the kids. And now there's drama going on between mom and dad, husband and wife, the kids and parents. All these different emotions, because it can be very difficult sometimes to just simply transition from one thing to the next, without sometimes really feeling the weight of conversations that precede and follow each other. And so, being that this happened to me this week, I was talking to God, and I said, God, what did I used to do? Like, how did I used to deal with this whenever I would go from one thing to the next, and how did I transition better back then? And a memory that came to me was a memory of my old spiritual director who's now passed away, Monsignor Bill Fitzgerald, Monsignor Fitz, as we affectionately called him. I would always call him. He's the person I would go to whenever I was having a rough day because he would always have a way to point me back to Christ. But I remember whenever I would call him, because he lived in Kalamazoo, he would never answer the phone the first time it rang. He would always send our phone calls straight to voicemail. And in the voicemail, it would say this: hey, this is Monsignor Fitz. I'm so grateful for you and for your phone call. You are important to me. Your phone call is also important to me. But I want you to know that if you're calling me to talk with me and tell me something that you have not yet talked to God about, you're going to want to hang up the phone right now and have a conversation with God. And then after you and God talk about it, you can call me and I'll answer the phone. Right? He would always point us to the Father. He'd always point us to God. And so being that I remembered that he would point me to the Father, I immediately transitioned into conversation with God. And as I began to pray, another memory came to my heart. And it was a memory that happened this week with my buddy Chris Benzinger. He's the husband of Michelle Benzinger. She spoke at one of our ladies' nights this year. And Chris came to our campus this week to give a retreat to our staff at Holy Rosary. And the day before the retreat, he and I were hanging out. We were praying together and sharing hearts. And he shared something with me that was very beautiful. He said, before he enters into prayer, before he enters into his time that he sets apart for he and God, he always begins his prayer and ends his prayer by focusing on the Father's blessing. The image he gave me was of the prodigal son and the prodigal father in Luke 15, where the son comes home and the son has a lot of stuff that's on his heart. He has a lot of stuff that he wants to talk to God about. But God simply, the Father simply wants to bless the Son. He's like, all right, I know you have a lot to say right now, but just stop. Let me celebrate you right now. My son is back in my embrace. I delight in you. I love you. I want to celebrate your life right now. And so what Chris does in pretty much the span of an Our Father prayer, the Lord's Prayer, he will chew on all the passages from the Word of God that speak of the Father's delight for you and I. In John 17, Jesus is praying to the Father, and he says, Father, they, you and I, we, because they are your gift to me. Stop right there. Jesus says we are a gift. No matter what other people say about us, no matter what other people think about us, no matter what we think or feel about ourselves, the truth is, Jesus said that we are a gift to him from God, our Father. Whoa. You and I, by virtue of our baptism, we've been incorporated into the mystical body of Jesus Christ, so much so that when God looks at us, God sees Jesus. When God sees Jesus in the Jordan River, when he's hanging out with his cousin John the Baptist, what does God the Father say about Jesus? This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Those same words must echo in our hearts when we begin our time of prayer. Not only am I a gift, Jesus, to you from the Father, but when the Father looks at me, the Father sees his beloved Son. The Father sees his beloved daughter. That's who I am. That's my core identity. The Father blesses me. In the book of Proverbs, we read that the Lord delights in you and I. The Lord delights in us. God, you delight in me. God, you rescue me. God, while I was yet a sinner, you chose me. You chose me. Chris will begin his prayer that way, and then as he enters into prayer, maybe the things he wanted to talk to God about aren't even important anymore because he's now resting in the love of God. He's abiding in God's love, and things that used to matter just don't really matter anymore. Then he ends his prayer recalling the Father's blessing again. So that's what I did. I said, okay, Lord, I have all this stuff in my heart. I had this meeting. Someone insulted me intentionally or unintentionally, and then I wasn't able to rejoice and be with this other person, so now they're offended because of that. It's in my heart. It's in my mind. God, but I'm not going to think about any of that stuff. I'm going to focus on your blessing. I'm going to focus on your love. I'm going to focus on your delight. And that's what I did. And all of a sudden, this interior peace, this interior joy permeated my soul. I was filled with a happiness beyond this world. That's what King David says what happened whenever we recognize that the Lord has chosen us. In today's responsorial song, King David writes, he says, blessed are those the Lord has chosen. The word blessed is synonymous with happy. Happy are those the Lord has chosen to delight in, to claim as his own, to rescue, to deliver, to delight in as his beloved sons and daughters, to dwell with while we are still yet broken and imperfect. Interior peace came the rest of the day. Then I went to bed that night. Now, I don't know if this has ever happened to y'all, but then I woke up the next morning and I was already brooding again all over. Yeah, I can't believe that person said that again. I know it's not good to brood because, right, brooding is an imitation of Satan. St. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7, that God is love and that love is patient, love is kind, love is not brood. Therefore, if we brood, we're imitating Satan. I want to be a Christian, not a Satanist, so I don't want to brood. So I'm like, God, okay, please help me. I don't want to dwell on this conversation. I don't want to dwell on what this person said. I don't want to, God, help me. So I text a few of my friends who are intercessors, said, hey, can you pray for me? I'm experiencing some brooding right now. Don't want to do this. I know that's not good. And then went about my day at the men's conference yesterday and was serving the men and doing this and that. And then we had adoration of the Blessed Sacrament. And while we were adoring our Lord, I was just fixed on Jesus. I didn't go to adoration with all my stuff. I didn't go focusing on myself. I wasn't navel-gazing. I wasn't thinking about other people. I was just looking at Jesus in the Eucharist, praising Jesus, adoring Jesus. My eyes were fixed on Jesus. My mind, my heart was fixed on Jesus, not on myself. And because I was looking at Jesus, I was in a much better disposition to listen to Jesus. We listen to the one whom we are looking at. If my mind and my heart were focused anywhere else, then all of those other thoughts that vie for my attention would have been speaking very loud to me. But because I was only looking at the Lord in the Eucharist, I was only able to listen to the Lord in the Eucharist. And as I was adoring the Lord, not intending to hear anything, just intending to adore Jesus, what I perceived as I prayed were these words from Jesus to me: "Josh, I delight in you." As you're looking at me right now in the Eucharist, I'm looking at you, and I delight in you. I'm not looking at you focusing on your imperfections. I'm not looking at you focusing on all the ways that you have hurt me and you have let me down this week. I'm not looking at you and focusing on all the ways that you have offended other members of the body of Christ this week. I'm not doing that. I'm delighting in you. Now, if you can receive my delight, then you are responsible with sharing my delight with those who have offended you. And not just dwelling on their imperfections, not just focusing on the ways that they have let you down or me down because you're a member of my body, but delighting in them for who they are, period. Delighting in the beloved. Once again, this interior peace, joy, happiness flooded my soul. I was able to then reorient my attention to this other member of the body of Christ and look on this member of the body of Christ with love and pray for this person and forgive this person and bless this person in their walk toward eternity. We must be responsible with the gifts that we receive. So if we receive this gift from God, we ought to share it. As a Christian, we must share it. So how are we going to share it in our world, in our busy world where we go from one thing to the next, one encounter with one person to another encounter with another person? How can we do this? Well, it begins with our interior life of prayer. So I want to invite and encourage everyone this week to begin your prayer time, which I'm making this from, I'm supposing that everyone is praying by now, right? We've been on this journey now for a couple of years. We've been talking about being intentional with Jesus for a couple of years now. So I'm just going to assume everyone is praying at least 15 minutes a day, one-on-one time with God, not while we're driving, apart with God, alone, he and I, no distractions. I would propose that during our 15, 30 hour, whatever it is that we spend with the Lord, apart from TV, apart from the cell phone, apart from noise, apart from the car, that we begin that time by focusing on the Lord's delight in us, by pondering and chewing on scriptures that speak of how much the Lord sees us, knows us, and loves us through and through, and then go into our prayer time and let it be what it would be: music, rosaries, litanies, devotionals, scripture, silence, adoration, praise, whatever. And then ending that prayer time like Chris does again by focusing on the Father's blessing. The way that we pray will have a direct impact on the way that we live our lives. So that if that's how I begin and end my prayers, then that's also going to be the way that I'm going to begin and end my encounters with people. Before I have a phone conversation with a family member who I struggle with, I'm going to begin by focusing on the Father's delight in me, receiving the Father's delight in me, speaking with this person who's probably going to say something offensive over the phone, but then sharing the Father's delight with that person regardless of how rude they may be, and then ending that conversation by going back to the Father's gaze and receiving his love before I then go to my spouse or my child or my parent or my sibling or my friend or whoever it is that I'm going to encounter next, so that I'm perpetually abiding in the love of the Father. If we can receive this great gift, we must be responsible with this great gift. And if the world can experience the delight of God in and through us, and the world can be drawn to God in and through us, and we together with everyone who is in our community can walk with each other toward abiding in the love of God and the delight of the Father as his beloved sons and daughters in this life, and most importantly, in the kingdom of heaven for all eternity.